In Galatians, on chapter 1, Galatians 1 and verse number 3. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sin, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, chapter 6, today's chapter 6, verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. 1 John, please, in chapter 2. First Epistle of John, chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. One more passage to read is in John's Gospel, chapter 17. Gospel of John, chapter 17. We'll expect from this chapter wonderful prayer of the Lord Jesus, his words concerning our relationship with the world. Relationship with us. John 17, verse 6, I manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Verse 18, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also sent them into the world. What's their mission in the world? Well, verse 21 will tell us that they all may be one, as thy Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And finally, verse number 23, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Now the Lord will add his blessing to his own good word. As the Christian travels toward heaven, we have three enemies that oppose us. We're often reminded those enemies are the world and the flesh and the devil. They seek to hinder our progress. They seek to cause us difficulty on the heavenward way. But what do we really understand by the term the world in relation to the Christian? Well, it's clear to see that it's not the world of creation. It's not the natural world. We look all around us and we see the beauty and wonder and variety and artistry of God's creation. Remember the wonderful expression at the end of Revelation chapter 4, "Thou art worthy, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." We look around and see the wonder of God's creation. Our hearts rise in appreciation, in acknowledgement, how great thou art, O God. It's not the natural world that the Bible warns us about, nor is it the world of mankind. John 3, verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." That's the world of mankind. Every person in this world is the object of God's love. How wonderful that is. And God has made provision for all men. He will have all men to be saved, according to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And he's made provision for all. That passage goes on to say, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Every sinner of Adam's rude race was taken into account when the Lord Jesus suffered and died on the cross of Calvary. And that love that God has for mankind should reach our hearts. The scripture speaks about that. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts through the Holy Ghost that's given to us. That is, we should have a love for every person that we meet with. The Bible says they're all created in the image of God, Genesis 1, verse 27. Do we see in every person the potential for God's blessing and in the world of mankind, our love should be seen going out to all. So it's not the natural world, and it's not the world of mankind. But the Bible does speak of the world system. A world system that is contrary to God, contrary to Christ, and contrary to the believer. This is the world that's spoken of in the scripture. We've read it in Galatians chapter 1. The Lord Jesus died on the cross. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. This present evil world is spoken of here. We read it in the writing of John in his epistle that he that is born again of God, born of the Spirit, he overcomes the world. That's again the world system, the world that is contrary to God and to Christ. You see, in fact, the world system, it turns its back upon God completely. It refuses to acknowledge God, either as the creator or the redeemer. And we read that they choose their own God. They've taken the place of the Almighty God. They take their own God. And you read it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that the God of this world blinded the minds of those that believe not. You see, they have a God that they follow, that they acknowledge, but not the God of heaven. Nor does the world receive the Lord Jesus. And they have their own prince that they follow. The Gospel of John, we read that the Lord Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh, but he hath nothing in me." You see, they replace God, they choose their own God, the God of this world. And they replace Christ, and they say, "We don't follow Christ, we'll follow our own prince." "Prince of this world cometh," said the Lord Jesus. They follow him. But the Lord said, "He may come into the world, but he has nothing in me." There's nothing in Christ to respond to sin. And as we have heard already today, he was the sinless, spotless, unblemished, eternal Son of God. So the world's God and the world's prince. But then the scripture also speaks of how they have no time for the Spirit of God. They turn away from the voice of God's Spirit. And the Bible speaks in 1 Corinthians 2 of the spirit of this world. The spirit of the world. Thus their choice. They turn away from the truth when they believe the lie propagated by the spirit of the world. Now we have read in John 17 here these lovely statements of the Lord Jesus. And they are so concise and so meaningful to us that if we read them and consider them, they give us a picture of our relationship to the world, the world's relationship to us. In verse 6, we read in 7, John 17, I have manifested thy name, the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Do you not think those words are precious to you today? That we are part of a love gift given from the Father to the Son. The men, the people thou gavest to me out of the world. Now, if you take time to read this chapter in detail, you'll find that this gift is mentioned 7 times. 7 times the Lord mentions this particular gift. He speaks of other things that God the Father has given to him. But this particular gift he speaks of 7 times, emphasizing how precious the church believer is to the Lord Jesus. Those that thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me. That's the first statement of the verse 6. We're given to the Lord Jesus out of the world. A gift given out of the world. Verse number 11, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Now the Lord Jesus at this time was in spirit beyond the cross. And he is speaking of a work that's finished. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. He is in spirit beyond the cross. And he says in this wonderful verse, I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. Okay, so in verse 6, we're given out of the world, part of that gift given from the Father to the Son. Verse number 11, we're still in the world. In verse number 11. These are in the world. Verse number 14, the Lord Jesus says, they are not of the world. They're still in the world, but they're not of the world, even as I am not of the world. You see, the Lord Jesus said, ye are from beneath. To those Pharisees and scribes who came to him, he said, ye are from beneath, but I am from above. I am not of this world. We have heard of that from John chapter 3, verse 8. John the Baptist could say, he came down from heaven. He was the one who was from above. And how we could sing so heartily of his glory as the everlasting word. But hear these words, we're not of the world. We're in the world, but not of. Verse 15, it says, that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. The Lord Jesus said, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. In other words, that we'll be all living in convents or in monasteries or in some place of seclusion where there will be no contact with the world or with any form of evil. No, the Lord Jesus said, I pray that thou would keep them from the evil. When they're in the world, that you would preserve them and keep them from the evil of the world. And then we've read about how they're sent into the world. Verse 18, I also sent them into the world. We're sent into the world. Now, you take those 5 statements together. We're given out of the world by the Son to the Father, verse 6. Verse 11, we are in the world. It's very evident. We're living in the world. Verse 14, we're not of the world. Just as the Lord Jesus was not of the world. And his desire is that we would be kept from the evil in the world. And in verse 18, he said, I also sent them into the world. So you and I are on a mission. We are sent by the Lord into the world. What is to be done? What is the mission that we have? Well, it's described in 2 verses, verse 23, that the world may know that thou hast sent me. Now, it's 2,000 years since the Lord gave the commission to the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, to this present moment, that commission has never been replaced. It has never been withdrawn. It still has all the authority that it was given from the lips of Christ. Yet, to this day, in 2023, there are so many parts of the world where there are people who have never heard the gospel. Say, you can challenge it if you will, but there are more people on earth at this moment who have never heard the gospel than at any time in the history of the church. But the believer's mission in the world is that the world may know. People living in darkness and in ignorance, because many have not risen to the challenge, commission given, that the world may know. There's an old hymn that says, he was not willing that any should perish. Jesus enthroned in the glory of God. So our poor fallen world pitied our sorrow, poured out his life for us. Wonderful love. Perishing, thronging our pathway. Hearts break with burden too heavy to bear. Jesus would say, but there's no one to tell them, no one to lift them from sin and despair. Our mission, that the world may know. And in verse 21, that the world may believe. We've heard it in the gospel meeting again. The importance of responding to the gospel and believing in the Lord Jesus, receiving him by simple faith. Now, these statements of the Lord in John chapter 17 are so illuminating for us on the subject of the world that is our adversary. Well, as well as that, there is the words of scripture that we have read in 1 John, but the world's attitude to the Christian. And the world has a strategy in relation to the believer today. The Word of God tells us, of course, what that strategy is. It is that the world would make us its friend. We would have the friendship of the world. The scripture in the book of James, it says this, that the friendship of the world is enmity with God. He that is the friend of the world is the enemy of God. What a searching scripture. The world wants us to be its friend, wants our friendship, wants our allegiance, wants our recognition, the world and the believer as its friend. Then the scripture says in 1 John 2, the world wants us to love it, not only to be its friend, but to love it. Love not the world is the exhortation. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What challenging word. When we stop to consider exactly what is said. Then the world wants us to be like it. It wants us to follow it, wants us to be its friend, wants us to love it, wants us to give it our allegiance, our affection, but it wants to change our attitude. Well, listen to what the scripture said. If we heard it just only yesterday. Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Often pointed out that scripture means that it's pressed, the world wants us to be pressed into the same mold, to be just like the world. And the challenge comes to us as to how we react to these challenging scriptures. Well, in the Old Testament scripture, there were pictures for us of the world, and how that it sought to draw people in and cause them to lose their spiritual perception, their spiritual outlook. You think of Babylon, you think of the story of Daniel. It's a pertinent story in relation to the subject of the word. And Daniel was a young man. He was brought from his own home country, right to Babylon. And immediately, he was there. He was put under pressure to change. He was brought the food that was given to the king. You may say, that was a privilege. No better food in all the land than the food was prepared for the king. But Daniel had one problem that was insurmountable, that this food that he was about to receive, it could have been offered to idols. So Daniel could never receive it. And he stood up to that test. Remember how the agreement was made that for a certain time they would eat the normal food. And if they appeared to be suffering on account of that, well, they could think again of how the Lord preserved them in that, and they didn't have to eat of the king's food. But they wanted Daniel to change his name. In fact, they did change his name. They changed his name from Daniel to Belteshazzar. Well, Daniel, you see, had a link with the name of God. The last two letters, El, that was the link with God, right in Genesis chapter 1. Elohim, the beginning God, created the heaven and the earth. And that name that Daniel was given, obviously was given by godly parents. And the name was linked with God, Daniel. So what they wanted to change it to, and did change it to, Belteshazzar, beginning with Bel. That was an abbreviation of Marduk, one of the gods of Babylon. You see how they wanted to intervene in Daniel's life and change something, change his name, not El, standing for the Almighty God, but Bel, standing for the Babylonian God. But you see, that was the diet of the world. He refused it. And he refused, this name was given to him and it appears in scripture. But the purpose of it was that the world could change this young man. And that shows us something of the tactic of the world today. The world wants to change the way a Christian lives. And dear young believers, remember that that is the tactic of the world we live in. The world system wants to change your life. And Daniel was under pressure to do things that he'd never done before. And then whenever he became an old man, he had not only the test of the diet, but he had the test of the den of lions. And it was a different tactic there. They wanted him not to do things that he'd done all his life. Spend the time in prayer three times a day. So he was tested as a young man, the test of the diet, and as an older man, the test of the den of lions. But the Lord preserved him, of course. But you see the tactic of the world. They want us to do things that we never would have thought of doing before. And then in the case of Daniel, as an older man, they want us to stop doing things that we've done all our life. Tactic of the world. Well, the scripture says concerning the enemy, the devil, we're not ignorant of his devices. And when we read the word of God, we're enlightened as to what the world is seeking to do in your life. Babylon. It's really, to sum it up, it's just a few words. Think like us. Think like us. Change your name. Change your diet. Don't pray so much to the God of heaven. Well, you see, all these things were changed from his walk with God in Babylon. You could think of Moses and the challenge that he had. And the world, again, you see, offered much to Moses, didn't it? It says that he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, Hebrews chapter 11. And he refused the riches of the world. What did the world offer to him? position, power, wealth, all of these things. But he refused the position. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's wife. He refused the pleasure of the world. And he had a long-term view. You see, the long-term view of the end of the journey, just like Abraham, who it says he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Abraham was looking for a city which had foundation to his builder and maker as God. We need to keep the long-term view in our sight. What the end is for this course that we're taking. Well, Moses refused the position, he refused the pleasure, he refused all that was offered by the world. And you and I are challenged to, and we're exhorted in the scripture, not to let the world claim our affection. It has been described, it has been defined as a love of passing things, love of passing things. The worldliness is simply a love of things that are temporal. Remember what the scripture said? The things that are seen are temporal. The things that are not seen are eternal. Can we, like Moses, take the long term view? It says he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You see, he was looking ahead and he saw the end of the course that was offered to him. Well, a few years of pleasures of Egypt and position for a year or two in that great dynasty. What? He would lose out so much. But when he took the long term view, well, in respect to the recompense of the reward. The world challenged Daniel, think like us. And the world challenged Moses. His stands for the Lord. Then in Sodom, we think of so many applications through the Old Testament, but Lot decided that he would live in Sodom. And it says in Scripture that the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Genesis 13, verse 13. So that was a place, it was not a place for Lot to be choosing to live. But you see, it says that he took several steps. The first step, it says he looked at the well-watered plains of Jordan. He looked. And then it says that he pitched his tent towards Sodom. He started out towards it. He looked at it, thought it would be a good place, well watered plains, plenty of food for his herds and flocks. He pitched his tent towards it. He dwelt in Sodom, it says in chapter 14 of Genesis. And the next thing you find him, he's sitting in the gate of Sodom, in the place of authority, place of government. So those four steps he takes, he looks, and he pitches his tent. He enters in and lives in Sodom. And then he's sitting at the gate in the place of authority. You see how there were four steps. And the world would seek to draw us away, to entice us step by step, and discourage us from things of God. Men of Sodom were sinful before the Lord, it says. And the message of Sodom was to act like us. The world is saying, act like us, think like us, be like us. And they seek to influence the Christian in that respect. What recourse has the believer today? The Lord Jesus did say to his disciples, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So there's a message of encouragement for us. Message for our lesson today in edification. The Lord Jesus said, I have overcome the world. John 16, 33. And how is that an encouragement for believer? Because he went to the cross. And we read that particularly in Galatians for this reason. His purpose in going to the cross was for our sins. That's what we read, isn't it? And that he might deliver us from this present evil world. Not only that we would be forgiven our sins and be started on the road to heaven, but that he would deliver us from the world. We have read it in the scriptures in Galatians 6. God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And notice what has been said in the passage. Paul is saying, when he looks at the cross and thinks of the cross, he said, I see three on the cross. Not just one, but three. He said, the world is crucified to me, and I unto the world. Lord Jesus is crucified, he's on the cross. But Paul said, the world is on the cross, crucified to me, and I am crucified to the world. The world can't harm him very much if he's dead to the world. And that's the description of the passage in Galatians chapter 6. We are challenged this afternoon as we read these scriptures, perhaps not often read in this way, but nevertheless, the challenge comes to us from the Word of God. This meeting is on to advise by Holy Spirit. By 45 is
the time, is it? Good.
Well, let's continue to think of the great deliverance that we have in the cross of Christ. Looking at the cross in this way, that not only is Christ on the cross, the world is on the cross, I am on the cross, crucified as far as the world is concerned. So we have the tactics of the world. We have examples from the Old Testament of the pressures of the world on the believers then and the pressures of the world are the same in the day in which we live. We have read those wonderful words of the Lord Jesus defining for us exactly the relationship that we have with the world and the world with us. And the warning note is sounded from the scriptures of how that the pressure from the world can devastate our Christian life. If we listen to the voice of the world, follow the ways of this world, then our Christian testimony will suffer as a result. Many years ago, there was a little poem written, and I put it to you, about the choice concerning the world and the Christian. Written by a lady, her name was Margaret Marlowe. You may have heard this before. She said, I cannot give it up, the little world I know, the innocent delights of youth, the things I cherish so. 'Tis true I love the Lord, and I want to do his will, but may I not enjoy the world and be a Christian still? And yet, outside the camp, was there my Savior died. It was the world that cast him forth, saw him crucified. Can I take part with those who nailed him to the tree? And where his name is never praised, is that the place for me? Nay, world, I turn away. Though thou seemest fair and good, that outstretched friendly hand of thine is stained with Jesus' blood. If in thy least device I stoop to take a part, all unaware, thine influence steals God's presence from my heart. Let James the Apostle have the last word on the subject this afternoon. He says this, he says, pure religion and undefiled is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world.